you folks on the internet, and those who will be listening in the UK, you can't see this, but I have two little dolls here. They're rather large ones, male and a female, little children. Some years ago, Michael Jackson penned the lyrics to a popular song called We Are the World. And if you search through and you'll through YouTube, you'll find a rendition of that song with a bunch of well-known performers singing that song with him. And it gives you a good feeling and a sense of harmony and peace, because these people were singing about little children. And the song is upbeat and inspiring. And the first two verses go like this, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read the first two verses. There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, and it's time to lend a hand, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone will soon make a change. We are all part of God's big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a beautiful song. This song is about children that are living in a dying world, a satanic world. In Satan's world, there's no place for hope. There's no place for family. And there's definitely no place for children. Turn to Matthew 19:14, please. Let's start in verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put their hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. The New American Bible translates the latter part of this verse as the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Now let's read the same account in Mark. Mark 10, verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked them that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Now that sounds, you know, much displeased doesn't sound too bad, but if you look at the Greek, Jesus was greatly afflicted. And he was indignant. He was angry. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Those are pretty strong words. Because you see, children and the kingdom of God go hand in hand. And so the title of this message is, Of Such is the Kingdom of Heaven. Now first, we're going to consider just what the current world holds for today's children. Then we'll explore three groups of children that will inhabit the millennium. And finally, we'll discuss the childlike attitudes that will permeate the millennium. So what does this world hold for children today? First, it holds hunger. In this world, children are hungry, physically hungry. Let's look at a few statistics from the website worldhunger.org. Now, these are from 2013, so I'm sure they're probably worse by now. Approximately 3.1 million children die from hunger each year, 3.1 million. Children who are poorly nourished suffer up to 160 days of illness each year. 66 million primary school-age children attend classes hungry across the developing world. 6.3 million children under age 5 died in 2013, nearly 17,000 every day. Now, the term wasting refers to a child being significantly under the standard weight. Globally, 51 million under 5-year-olds were wasted, and 17 million were severely wasted in 2013. Now, of these statistics about third world countries, one might say, these are third world countries. Why are we worried about it? Well, let's look at feedingamerica.org. Remember that these statistics, I'm going to quote, are about the world's leading food producer. 42 million people struggle with hunger in the United States, including 13 million children. 5.4 million seniors don't have enough to eat. 42 million Americans, including 13 million children, live in households where food is insecure, meaning it is limited or uncertain access, to enough food to support a healthy life. Now, let's go on beyond hunger. This world holds death for children before they even get a chance to breathe. Let's look at some gruesome statistics from a website, www.numberofabortions.com. And I'm going to pull that website up on the screen here because I took these statistics on September 16th that I'm going to quote. And I want you to look at the difference between now and the time that I read the statistics. In the United States, these are the number of abortions today, 1,842. Today, 1,175. That's just for today. U.S., since 1973, Roe versus Wade, 59,773,427 children were aborted by Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, a noted eugenicist organization. Eugenicists mean, let's get rid of the bad people so we can keep all the good people. That's Planned Parenthood. Since 1970, 7,839,333 children were aborted. By Planned Parenthood this year, 229,982. United States this year, 657,432. That's the size of Portland, Oregon. U.S. this year, after 16 weeks of gestation, 31,556. At 16 weeks, a fetus has arms and legs and a face. All the features of a tiny human being. U.S. this year, due to rape or incest, 6,377. Black babies since 73 in U.S. And just as a side note, Planned Parenthood was formed to control the black population. 17,932,028. Worldwide since 1980, I'm not even sure I can read this, 1,468,392,962. I can't fathom that. A billion. Worldwide this year, 28,732. worldwide since you loaded this page, 349. I loaded this page this morning. Let's see. 3,495 since I loaded this page this morning. What's sickening is you can see the counts go up as I talk. The count of these statistics are increasing. Pro-abortion is like the wave the flag. Oh, well, you know, we have to have abortion because of rape and incest. If you look at the figures, rape and incest is 1% of the total abortions performed this year. So does that mean 99% are performed for convenience? Leviticus 18:21. And you shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. 60 million children sacrificed to Molech since 1980. It seems like nothing has changed in Israel, has it? We are the children. We are the world. But Satan hates the children. Let's consider now the three groups of children that will be represented in the millennium. The first group of children in the millennium will be the children of the first resurrection, the church. Let's review a few scriptures that describe this group of people. Turn to 1 John 3:2, please. 1 Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, the word sons there is actually the Greek word techno, which means a child. So more accurately, it says we are the children of God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, please. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's us. We are the being born. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, the first children. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Another scripture about the first group of children. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying in the, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. This is the first group of children, the church, resurrected church of the living God. Revelation 24. This is about us. And I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. You see that the children of the first resurrection have a special place in the millennium. They will be the teachers and of human beings that are born in the millennium. The big brother, as it were. You know, the firstborn in a family, you know, the older children, and especially the firstborn child, they have a special place in the family. They represent the father when the father is not there or is not present. I remember growing up how I looked up to my eldest brother with respect. He was in the Marine Corps. In the absence of my father, I had to obey him. And when I answered him, I would say, yes, sir, because he had a special place. Now, the second group of children in the millennium will be those who enter as a child and those born in the millennium. And they're going to have a special place because they will experience childhood as God designed childhood. There will be no predators, no pedophiles, no abortions, no human traffickers. And you think slavery is dead. It is not. They just have a different name for it, human trafficker. And no hunger. There'll be no broken families, no gay marriages, no single parents, no confusion between mom and daddy. Children will be taught by a loving father and nurtured by a loving mother. And true education will be available to all of these children. Let's consider the joy of being a child at this time. Turn to a well-known scripture about the millennium, Isaiah 11:6. This was already read, and I'm sorry, we're going to read it again. Because God likes to repeat things. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. So, show of hands, how many of you have had a pet polar bear? Okay, I don't think so. How many of you have had a pet rattlesnake? Or perhaps swam with a whale? Or with a shark, for that matter. The children of the millennium will have no fear of wild animals. They're just going to be playful little pets. These human children in the millennium will not have to deal with debilitating disease. We have one in our congregation that has been dealt a debilitating disease and deals with it on a day-by-day basis. That will not be in the millennium. We won't have those type of diseases in the millennium for children. Let's turn to Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6. There will be no diseases in the kingdom of God. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man, the lame child, leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Children will live in peace, free from danger, free from war, free from predators. Let's turn to Zechariah 8:5. This was already read, but I'm going to read it again, because it's apropos to my message. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. When I was growing up, I remember playing outside until after it was dark with my friends without any parental guidance, because we had no fear at that time. How many of you parents would allow your children to play unattended after dark, outside, away from the house? In the millennium, that can't happen. Isaiah 54, verse 13. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Peace. How many children have peace today? Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 4. In that day, this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open you the gates, that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter. You will keep him in perfect peace, and those mind, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Yahweh is everlasting strength. There will be peace in the millennium. Children won't have to be worried about growing up and being drafted into war. And children in the millennium will be healthy. They won't be affected by hate and prejudice. They'll live in harmony. They'll be respectful of their parents, and they'll be happy. And the last group of children that will be the largest group of children are the children of the second resurrection. And they will be resurrected into human form and given their chance to accept salvation. And they'll have a chance to develop without the influence of Satan. True education will be made available to them through the Word of God. That's shown in Revelation 22. Sorry, 2012. Revelation 2012. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, this book. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Those children will be given a chance to be the children of the living God. There's an indication in Isaiah 65:20 that these resurrected folks will have 100 years to develop and at the end become spirit-born children of the living God. In Isaiah 66:20, it states, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." And not many of us live to 100, so it seems that's ample time for somebody to decide whether they want to follow God or not. Now, let's consider the childlike attitude. In Mark 10:15, Christ makes it abundantly clear that unless you have a childlike attitude, you're not even going to be there. You cannot enter that kingdom. This childlike attitude will prevent you from getting in the kingdom, but it will also be prevalent in the millennium. Let's consider the attributes of a little child. First, a little child is humble and meek. A little child is just happy to be with his family. And we have four or five little children here, small children, that just love their parents. They're always clinging to their parents. And they're happy. There's no haughtiness or pride. A little child doesn't look down on other little children, but delights with playing with them. The people in the millennium will be humble, especially those coming out of the Great Tribulation. The world that they knew, the world that they grew up with, will not be there anymore. And there will be no place for pride and arrogance. They will be tired and hungry and ready to learn. Psalm 37:11. You don't need to turn there. It says, "The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Little children are meek and humble. A little child has a deep reverence for his father. A little child looks up to his father in awe. A little child knows that his father means business. I remember, and I guess we all remember when we were children, our mother telling us, "Wait till your daddy gets home." And that was enough to foster intense behavioral modification on my part. My dad just had to touch his belt. I was a changed person. Let's look at Hebrews 12:9. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave them, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be more in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? The people of the millennium, the children of the millennium, will have a deep respect for their spiritual father. Hebrews, okay, just go to verse 28 while we're there. Hebrews 12, 28. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably and with reverence and godly fear, respecting the Father. Psalm 89, 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. A little child respects his father and looks up to his father. A little child will seek out his parents. We see that here. Little children looking for their parents, clinging to their parents. The children of the millennium will seek their dad. Now, some time back, I was in a coffee shop. I was waiting to place an order. And a young father was there in front of me and clinging to his leg, holding on to his leg, was a little lad, probably up to my thigh. And this little fellow was just so close to his father. And he was just looking around the coffee shop, and he kind of let go of the leg of his father. And his father stepped up to place the order. The little boy was sitting there looking around, and all of a sudden he decided, or he perceived that, where's Dad? And he looked around, and he found the first leg he could find. It was mine. And he grabbed onto my leg, and then I laughed. And then he looked up at me, and then, poof. And he looked around, where's Dad? And he ran to Dad and grabbed Dad's leg. I'll never forget that. That was so funny. You know, when he realized he didn't have the correct dad, he sought his correct dad. And little children in the millennium will seek their dad. A little child trusts and relies on his father. I'm always amazed at these young fathers and their little children and tossing their kids up in the air, and the kids just laughing and laughing. If that was me, I'd be crying and crying. Put me down. But a little child just loves it because he trusts his father. He knows his father's going to catch him. Turn to Psalm 36, verse 6. Psalm 36, verse 6. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Little children trust their father. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. A little child is eager to learn to be just like dad. Little children want to be like their dad or their mother. But you know, you just want to please your dad all the time if you're a little child. You want to learn to do what he does. Be just like him. You know, little boys want to be like dad when they grow up. Little girls want to be like mom. They want to be mommies. And little children, they just learn to be like their parents. The people of the millennium will have a childlike desire to be like God as well, to be like their father. Turn to Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 3. This is a well-known scripture, and it's so important that it's repeated in Micah 4. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come you, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. They will want to be like their father. They won't want to be like their big brother. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And again, like I said, that's repeated in Micah 4, 1 to 2. Now, a little child will seek comfort in his parents. You know, when a little child falls, the first thing they're going to do is run to mom and dad. Fix me. I'm hurting. Turn to Psalm, please, Psalm 37, 23. Psalm 37, 23, yes. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Little children are always going to seek that hand of their parent. And in Hosea 6, verses 1 to 3, Hosea 6, 1 to 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his light. Then we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his fourth going forth is prepared as in the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain upon the earth. You know, it's funny, you can punish a little child, and they'll be angry and mad, and like a few minutes later, they're just in your arms smiling and laughing. So that they will always seek the comfort of their parents, even if their parents have punished them. A little child is filled with joy and happiness. Have anybody been on YouTube and they've seen these pictures of babies laughing? You can sit there and look at that, and you're going to be laughing with them because they just laugh. And they laugh because they're happy. They're not laughing because of an off-color joke, and they're not laughing because they put somebody else down. They're laughing because they're happy, and something's tickled them. And it's just infectious when you see them laughing. You want to laugh along with them. I remember some time back I was going to order a pizza, and in the line, in either front and back of me, there was a mother with a little boy, a little boy about this high. And he was just there. He was happy to be with Mom. And I looked down and smiled at him. And he looked back at me, and he said loudly to his mom, "Mama, I really like that man." He had this big smile going all the way across his face, and his teeth were showing, and he was just glowing. He had joy just seeing a total stranger. Now, if Mom would have been okay with it, I would have picked him up and hugged him at that time. Let's turn to Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink or pizza, but righteousness and peace and joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Little children have joy. Now, the church has a tradition of blessing little children this time of the year. And when you consider the role of children in the kingdom of God, how appropriate that is. This is the time the little children should be blessed, because this is the time all children will be blessed. That ceremony has a great deal of meaning. We know that when a little child is born, he's not born with human nature, as Mr. Armstrong taught us. Satan begins to broadcast that nature into the little child. And that nature stays with children all the way until they become adults. You can see that when children aren't born with prejudice. It's instilled into them. Little children of all colors and makes and sizes can sit down and play all day until their parents tell them that's wrong. So what happens when Satan is out of the picture? This is a quote from the book Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like, and Mr. Armstrong writes this under the section, Human Nature Not to Disappear at Once. And this is the quote, but that does not mean that the acquired satanic attitude will disappear from human minds immediately. The multiplied millions shall have acquired it, and even though Satan will then be restrained from continuing to broadcast it, what has been acquired as habit will not be automatically removed. Yet God has made us human, free moral agents. He has given us control over our own minds, except as we may be blinded by Satan's pull of evil by deception. But no longer will Earth's mortal humans be deceived. Now the all-powerful Christ and the immortal saints ruling under him will begin removing the scales that have blinded human minds. That is why I say complete utopia cannot be ushered in all at once. Multiple millions will still hold to the attitude of rebellion, vanity, lust, and greed. But with Christ coming shall begin the process of re-education, of opening deceived minds, of undeceiving minds, and bringing them to a voluntary repentance. I couldn't locate this, but I believe Mr. Armstrong taught that it would take two or three generations for human nature to be eradicated. And as I was preparing this message, it occurred to me that fourth generation is going to be children born with childlike attitudes that will not be adulterated for their entire lives. They will have childlike attitudes as adults because Satan is not there to broadcast. These generations of human beings will retain childlike humility and trust and eagerness to learn for their entire adult life. And when we as teachers say, this is the way, walk you in it, they will eagerly listen to us and follow our instructions because they will have that childlike attitude. This might also explain the great rebellion toward the end of the millennium after Satan is loosened. I always wondered, how can a people that have lived 1,000 years in peace rebel? And when you consider that last generation and Satan being loosed, a bunch of little children receiving human nature all again, they're going to start saying, who is this guy ruling over me? I don't want him to rule over me. Let's get rid of him. And they will rebel. They will lose their childlike attitudes. Satan will waste no time injecting it into them. And they will become selfish and vain and proud and violent and defiant. So in conclusion, the kingdom of God is all about family. And it's all about children. Children will play a major role, a major part in that family. The children of the first resurrection, the church, us. We will be the firstborn children. We'll hold places as teachers and rulers. The children born during the 1,000 years will have the joy that human children should always have. They will live in peace without fear of bodily or mental harm. And the children of the second resurrection will complete the family of God. However, it's very clear that if we don't have childlike attitudes, we cannot enter the family of God. So we must be humble, trusting, teachable, eager to learn, eager to be like our Father because of these attitudes. These attitudes will be prevalent during the millennium and beyond. So, brethren, you are the world of tomorrow, and you are the children of the living God, and of such is the kingdom of heaven.